Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin in verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 11, which says, All Israel came together to David at Hebron and said, We are your own flesh and blood. Well, David had already reigned over a portion of Israel for 7 years. Here the entire country unites behind him. Now that Israel's first king, Saul, is dead, they need a leader, and they know that David is God's hand-picked man for the job. Because look at verse 2, it says, In the past, even while Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns, and the Lord your God said to you, You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. So, it had become common knowledge throughout Israel that God, through the prophet Samuel, had chosen David to replace Saul. And now the people, they want to submit to God's man, and they want to submit to God's will. And for that, they will be blessed for many years to come. Verse 3, When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, he made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, as the Lord had promised through Samuel. So we see from this that representatives from all over the entire country made David the king on behalf of all the people. So this was the will of God, and the people are falling in line with it. Verse 4, David and all the Israelites marched to Jerusalem, that is Jebus. The Jebusites who lived there said to David, You will not get in here. Well, let's just stop there for a second. The heathen Jebusites maintained their place in Jerusalem even after the conquest of the promised land by the Israelites. So they're kind of stubborn, you know, and they've got a stronghold there. And notice, it says in verse 5, the Jebusites who lived there said to David, You will not get in here. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, the city of David. I love that. The Jebusites were overconfident, saying, You're not going to take this city, David. Well, they can talk all they want. David took it. Nevertheless, David took it. Why? Because it was God's will. Verse 6. David had said, Whoever leads the attack on the Jebusites will become commander-in-chief. Joab, son of Zeruiah, went up first, and so he received the command. So here we see Joab. He becomes the general of David's army. We're going to hear an awful lot about this man in studies to come. He was the general in charge of David's army. 7. David then took up residence in the fortress, and so it was called the City of David. He built up the city around it, from the supporting terraces to the surrounding wall, while Joab restored the rest of the city. And so the city was built out from the fortress. There was a fortress there where David lived, and then the city of Jerusalem was built around that to give the king greater security. Verse 9, And David became more and more powerful because the Lord Almighty was with him. And that's because he was a good guy. That's because he was a godly man who really cared about the Lord. David put his trust in God, and consequently God did not let him down. 10. These were the chiefs of David's mighty men. They, together with all Israel, gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land, as the Lord had promised. David's mighty men were great soldiers who stood with him throughout his entire reign. And even before, when he was a nobody, they were there. When he was an outcast because Saul was trying to kill him, because he was jealous of David's popularity, these mighty men, you know, lived out in the caves with David. He became their leader, and they were so loyal to him. And, well, the rest of this chapter simply lists David's elite group of soldiers known as his mighty men. And we're going to skip down to chapter 12. We will not read all these names. And verse 1 of chapter 12 says, These were the men who came to David at Ziklag, while he was banished from the presence of Saul, son of Kish. They were among the warriors who helped him in battle. And that's what I was talking about. These guys were very loyal to David, and they had been for years. For years, while Saul was king, he tried to murder David because he was so jealous of David. And for that reason, David lived outside of Israel. And I mean way outside of Israel. I'm talking about in the country. He was living like a dog. And that's when these mighty men of his came to him. That's when he met them. And they stuck with David through good times and bad. Verse 2. They were armed with bows and were able to shoot arrows or to sling stones right-handed or left-handed. They were kinsmen of Saul from the tribe of Benjamin. So when it came to fighting abilities, these guys were the best. And, you know, they were even switch hitters, as it were, because they could shoot a bow left-handed or right-handed, and they could sling a stone left-handed or right-handed. Didn't matter. These guys were skilled. And verses 3 through 7 just lists their names, so we will not read that. Let's skip on down to verse 8. Some Gadites defected to David at his stronghold in the desert. They were brave warriors, ready for battle and able to handle the shield and spear. Their faces were the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. And so these loyal soldiers, the Bible says, had faces like lions. In other words, they were brave. And they are listed in verses 9 through 13. So we won't read those names. Instead, we will skip down to verse 14. These Gadites were army commanders. The least was a match for 100, and the greatest for 1,000. And so these were all officers in David's army. Verse 15. It was they who crossed the Jordan in the first month when it was overflowing all its banks. And they put to flight everyone living in the valleys to the east and to the west. They crossed the Jordan when it was at flood stage. And they fought Saul's army. So these guys, they were brave times too. At least. Verse 16. Other Benjamites and some men from Judah also came to David in his stronghold. David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you have come to me in peace to help me, I am ready to have you unite with me. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our father see it and judge you." David had been betrayed many times in recent years. So he was suspicious of everyone. It's hard to trust when you've been betrayed. Verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the 30. And he said, "We are yours, O David. We are with you, O son of Jesse. Success, success to you, and success to those who help you. For your God will help you." So David received them and made them leaders of his raiding bands. The leader of these men pledged to be loyal to David. And David accepted them, knowing that God would punish if they broke their oath. And see, you can afford to trust someone who promises to be loyal to you, because you know that even if you get burned, God will take care of them. You have to trust in God, I guess. And that's how you can't trust people unless you trust God. Verse 19. Some of the men of Manasseh defected to David when he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. He and his men did not help the Philistines because after consultation, their rulers sent him away. They said, "It will cost us our heads if he deserts to his master Saul." I don't know if you remember what happened, but this is talking about a time while David was still in exile. He and his men joined actually the Philistines to fight against King Saul and the army of Israel. The Philistine king was very good to David when he was in exile, and so he was helping him to win battles. However, the Philistine soldiers didn't trust David. They thought that he might turn on them and fight on behalf of Saul in Israel. And consequently, David was sent home. And some soldiers from the Israelite tribe of Manasseh were sent home with him. Verse 20. When David went to Ziklag, these were the men of Manasseh who defected to him. And, you know, I'm not going to read these names. I'll just say in verse 21 it says, they helped David against raiding bands, for all of them were brave warriors, and they were commanders of his army. Day after day, men came to help David, until he had a great army, like the army of God. So David's army was full of brave soldiers, and these brave soldiers grew steadily while he was in exile. And this army that was coming to him and multiplying was all preparation for this day when he would take over as king. Verse 23, these are the numbers of the men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him as the Lord had said. And verses 24 through 37 basically give a census of David's army as king of Israel. So we will not read those either, but let's go down to way down to verse 38. It says, all these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks. They came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all Israel. All the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. So David was the unanimous choice of all the soldiers and all the people, and most importantly, God. Verse 39. The men spent 3 days there with David, eating and drinking, for their families had supplied provisions for them. So 340,000 men celebrated the new beginning with David as king. And God was involved too, because this was God's choice. They were in God's will. So notice how happy they are. Verse 40, also their neighbors from as far away as Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali, those were tribes that were on the outskirts of the country. They came bringing food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, oil, cattle, and sheep. For there was joy in Israel. And we learn from this that great times of celebration with food and wine have God's approval, as long as the people involved don't get drunk or break any other part of God's moral law. See, God wants us to be happy and he wants us to celebrate, but it should be a byproduct of putting him first. And those things should not become idols in and of themselves. So the times are really becoming much better in Israel now that God's man is on the throne. And the people recognize it and they want it that way. So this is good. And we'll pick it up in chapter 13 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.